By grace through faith is how we receive. Now, we talk about believing and by faith receiving it. And we saw that faith is, according to Hebrews 11:1, is the evidence of things that's what? Not seen. But I like what the Passion Translation says. It says, our faith brings forth our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation that we need. And that foundation is based on His promises. I just want to interject that. Needed to acquire the things we long for. And then it says this about faith. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. So what we are doing is what? We are learning how to see in this spirit realm. And what do we do when we get a revelation? What's the most common phrase we use? Oh, I see that. So then we begin talking about, as we talk about seeing, that we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith, but yet we just saw that faith is seeing what's unseen. So we're walking by faith, looking at what the promises are showing us and telling us versus what we see in this world. And that's really how we need to be living. This is where we keep our spiritual eyes to let them be our dominant eyes instead of just being moved by all we see. Passion for that says, for we live by faith, not by what we just see with our eyes. And it's more than what we just see, because just like we were talking a few minutes earlier, if we let the things of this world cloud us, then what? That's what we become occupied with. And when we behold something and behold it, we're giving some place to it inside us. And what we give place to inside us, we will give power over us to. We talked then about Abraham in Romans 4. And I want to read these verses to you. Pastor Trey, could you turn that monitor on for me? Talking about Abraham and beginning in verse 18. We'll come back to 17 in a moment. But Abraham, who contrary to hope, meaning he had no ability to have hope in his natural body, in hope believed. What hope was that? The promises that he'd been given. So that he became the father of many nations. And then it's got this phrase, according to what was spoken. Now, what is that referring to? It's referring to the word of the Lord that was given to him. But that's key for us as we continue on today, according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And then in 19 talks about how he couldn't look at himself or Sarah's womb. Verse 20 then says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened by faith. So let me say this, and I've actually got it in my notes as a closing statement. But I want you to remember that every word of God has the power to bring faith to you. And it has the power to deliver on the promise that your faith is being built up and strengthened in. So it'll perform two functions if we allow it to. So it goes on and says, he did not waver through promise or unbelief, but was strengthened in faith by the promise and by seeing God, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. So he had confidence in the ability of the Lord to deliver on his promise. That's really important, to have that confidence, and that's going to come out again in today's session. Now, verse 17 of this chapter, this segment of it starts by saying, the Lord saying, for it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Now, look at what the Lord is saying to him before he has any children. I have made you. It's in what? Past tense, as if it's already happened. And that's very pertinent to all this that we're talking about. And it talks about how God gives life, and he calls things, the last two lines of this, he calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now, he's told him to be the father of many nations. He changed his name during this time. And that's really what Abraham means. He went from being high father to a name which says, I'm the father of many, or many nations, some writers will add. And so what is Abraham declaring every time somebody says, well, hi, Abram? He says, no, my name is Abraham. What is he doing? He is speaking his name, which is, I am the father of many nations, even though he can't see it today. So he's beginning to call things, even by that little bit, things that you cannot see as though they were. Now, in doing that, I just want to point out, we don't just say, I don't have this. In other words, we don't enter into denial, because there are facts in this world. But God's truth will trump facts, will wipe them away every time when we apply His word to them. So I want you to see a couple of things here too. Abraham was saying what God had said. And when God said it, there was power released to bring faith to him and to produce what it said it would. But this is where Abraham had to begin to cooperate with him. So today, I want to just go ahead and jump into what I want to cover. Because we looked at examples last week of how Jesus did this, how he would call things that weren't as though they were. But today I wanted to talk to you about faith speaking, but faith speaking as a kingdom process. It's not just something that is a suggestion to us. It is a kingdom process. Look with me at Romans 10, 9 and 10. We overlook this sometime, and we're going back to some basics today, but that's okay. I needed this, and if for nothing else, it has stirred me up again. Romans 10, 9 and 10, talking about how we are to receive salvation, says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your hearts that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, before you change that, the word confess there is the Greek word homologeo. That word means to say the same thing as. So if we say the same thing as with our mouth, that what? That the word says. So I just want you to see the context of that. Then verse 10 actually repeats it. For with the heart one believes, and that's so important. And you see here an order that I think is important too. For with the heart believes, one believes unto righteousness, and then with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So can I just say here for the first of several times, it is so important that we believe what we're saying. And I'm going to take that a step further in a minute. Now, sometimes speaking or declaring the word in this manner has taken on a negative conversation. And if I thank goodness I'm not this way, but if I wanted to stir the bucket sometime and stir some folks up, there's a few topics that you could bring up. And you hear phrases like blab it and grab it. But what I want us to do today is set all that aside, because I'm sure there's been some abuse. But I want us to set that aside and begin to see today that doing just what we saw, believing in our heart and speaking with our mouth, produces results for us. And so I just want us to focus on healing today as we're doing it. And why do I want to do this? Because I believe this is key for many of you to receive what God has already said He's done for you and make it come alive in your body. So, having said all that, it's more than just trying to get my hands on things. Now, that brings up an interesting point. So go with me to 2 Peter, the first chapter. And we're going to look at the first three verses. A lot more than just getting our hands on things. This starts out by saying, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now let's stay here for a moment on this verse. Simon Peter, a bondservant. What does that mean? It means it's someone who willingly commits themselves to a master to do things the way he wants it done. So not only is he committing himself to do work for him, he's committing himself to do it the way that he's requesting or that he's asking to do it. And then it says, who have obtained like precious faith. So let's just remind ourselves whose faith we have. We've been each given what? The measure of faith of Christ Jesus. And so that's what we're talking about. Verse 2 goes on and says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, don't read through this verse either. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. How is it going to be multiplied to us? Well, I have a little bit of knowledge of God, and I'm able to walk in some grace and peace, including healing, receiving it and ministering it, which is what I believe we're called to do. But this says that grace and peace will be multiplied as we see more, as we get His wisdom and begin to walk in His wisdom in the knowledge that He provides to us. And then it comes down to verse 3. As His divine power. Now, that's a phrase that we just need to just remember, because it's His power is the only thing that's important. His divine power has done what? It has given to all of us, given to us all, so that includes all of us in here today, things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, I find it interesting that so many people say, well, you're just trying, when you say something like, and you're calling things that be not as though they were, as we saw in the past, that you're just trying to get things. Well, isn't it interesting that it says to us here, He's given us all things that pertain to life here on this earth and godliness, how we live on this earth, but also what's coming. And how does it come? Again, through the knowledge of Him who called us by His glory. Now, whose faith is this? It's Jesus' faith. And can I just go ahead and say to you that all of the words of the Lord that are promises to you and I is good news. So when it talks about the gospel, or it says, I'm not going to ever be ashamed of the gospel, everything when it's saying gospel includes all that pertain to life and godliness. And that's what we want to be able to walk in our healing here today. Hebrews 11:11, which I won't put on the screen, talks about Sarah receiving power to conceive. And what did she do? She considered Him faithful to bring about what He had promised. And that's so important. So let me just give you two great and precious promises concerning healing, since that's what we're here about today. Let's go to Matthew 8, verses 16 and 17. And I purposely picked two that we all know, because I want us to just see these today in a different light, so that these will become a part of our vocabulary as our faith increases. It said, when evening had come, they brought to Him many who were demon-possessed, and He cast out the spirits, how? With a word. So Jesus is speaking. And He healed all who were sick. And we saw last week, He spoke to a number of people as one of the major ways that people were healed. And then verse 17 says, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He Himself took our infirmities and bore our diseases. Glory, glory to God. Now, what does this mean to you? He Himself took my infirmities And that's the way you need to read that verse. And bore my diseases. That bore actually means to take something and remove it, to take it away. So he's saying, I have already taken away by what he did on the cross your infirmities and your diseases. Now, these words first appear as God speaks through the prophet Isaiah, speaks these words into existence, even though we can't see it, even though Jesus hasn't come, when he says this in Isaiah 53:5. Now, do you understand what I'm saying there? I'll just say it this way. God, through the ages, spoke Jesus into existence to come in the physical body like we have. And this is part of what he was setting in place with power, because there is no word of God without power. So again, this word can give us faith, and it can deliver that which is promised in it. Then we look at 1 Peter 2:24. Says something similar. Talking about Jesus who bore in his sins, who bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Again, that started with the word of the Lord in that same Isaiah 53. That we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. So what, once again, it is past tense. So we're in a position now in this dispensation of grace where Jesus has completed, and I would even say it's part of the kingdom that dwells in you, all that is needed to provide healing to you and to me. And it dwells in our spirit, which I believe is the garden that we have to keep. And everything is already available. Now, I want to make this statement, and I want to do it in great love, but I want to be very blunt about it. There is no need for you and I to pray, God, I need you to come down and touch me to be healed. Do you remember back in Romans 10th chapter that we were reading, just before those verses 9 and 10? It talks about who's going to say, I want you to come back down and do something, or call him back up from the grave. He's already done it. Everything that we need is already there. And it's so important for us to see that. Now, how are we going to walk this way? Well, our receiving has been provided. So how am I going to perform this receiving that we're doing, this taking it, this acting on it, to make it come about? So can I just say we're going to do it like God did it? Does it? Still does. Like Jesus did it when he was on the earth. Go to Ephesians 5:1. And if you haven't listened to what Pastor Trey taught this past Sunday morning, you need to go listen to it. Because this is where he started. But I want to tell you, he's teaching about imitating love. And it's God's love for us. And I want to start with this because it's foundational. So this verse just tells us, be imitators of God as dear children. And I like this dear children part because what is it saying? It's giving an implication that we're looking up as, let me pick my earthly father. Let me use my boys as an example for him. Some of them wanted to be coaches like he was because they looked up to him. They valued him. And this is how we're going to be imitating God, because we value him and his ways. And it all starts with what? His love for us. But we can't forget, we're talking about receiving grace by faith. How does faith worketh? By love. So this love is foundational for you and I to begin to walk in everything we do. So how did God do it? Well, let's go back to the beginning. Genesis 1:1-3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, do you believe the Spirit of God knew what was in God's heart? Absolutely. But I want you to see, the Spirit is hovering over this void, over these waters, willing to exert the power to create all this stuff that He knows is in God's heart. But what's happening? Nothing is happening right now, is it? Why? Well, that's because verse 3 hasn't come about yet. Then God said. So the Spirit was there hovering over the waters, wanting to do it, willing to do it, but waiting for that word of power to come so He could. And then He got the word said here in the New King James, let there be light. And it says, and there was light. The Young's literal translation is wonderful for this verse. It simply says, then God said, light is. And can we say, light is today as well? Do you see the power behind these words that caused it to come about, but then sustains it over and over again, day after day? And again, this wasn't when the sun was created. This was talking about when His presence was released, when the light came. So we too are what? The Scripture tells us we are kept by the power of God. We are kept by, then we can say, the words of God that releases those power, that power to us. And it goes on in Genesis 1. It says 8 times, and God said, or then God said. So what do we see here? The way the Lord God uses to release power for things to come about under His domain is through the spoken word. And again, I just want to remind you, what does that word we saw earlier in Romans 10, 9 and 10 say? Confess, confession. It means to say the same thing as. And so not only are we going to imitate God by speaking, but we're going to imitate Him by saying the same thing He says concerning whatever situation is impacting us. Now, to that end, let's go to 2 Corinthians 4:13. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Now, in this verse, Paul is quoting David in he's in 116, verse 110. But in Psalm 45, verse 1, David says, a psalm he also wrote, says of himself, my mouth is as the pen of a ready writer. Now, when people are listening to someone and they're being a scribe, they're taking down what's being said, what are they doing? Writing. But isn't it interesting? David says, my mouth is like the pen of a ready writer. In other words, David is saying, not only do I want to record what God's saying, I want to what? Speak it just like He is saying. So with that knowledge, let's read this verse. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, and we'll talk about spirit of faith, I believe, therefore I spoke, that's the Psalm 110, we also believe, and therefore we speak. So, what do we see again? Believing and then speaking. And what does Scripture tell us? Out of the abundance of what's in the heart, the mouth will speak. Now, I want to talk about, before we move on, this same spirit of faith. This is not talking about the Holy Spirit, but this is talking about an attitude or a perspective you have. The example that I have used and have heard used most often is talking about school spirit, and you do things that displays a school spirit. So I want you to read this verse by really sensing that, and since we have the same attitude, the same perception of faith, as who? Who gave us that faith? Jesus. And what did He believe? Because he said, I only say what I hear the Father say. But what was his perspective? When he said what the Father said, things would come to pass in this domain where we're living down here, where the Lord has given to us. Now, why do you say that? I can teach you principles of faith, but I believe it's equally, if not more important, for us to catch this same attitude of faith, this same perspective of faith, which says, and this is going to, you're going to have to be bold to say this, when I speak what I believe, things come to pass. So we're getting to a point where we are having to say that ourselves. And we have to have absolute confidence that that's going to happen. That's when we say things without wavering. Now, it's interesting. I never want to discourage anybody from going to somebody else and getting agreement when you pray about something, because you both have to believe. But I'm going to tell you, there are too many people who just think, well, I don't have that much faith, therefore, I'm going to get on somebody's coattail and go into the presence of God behind them. Scripture tells us what? For us to come boldly to that throne of grace. It doesn't say, come behind Robbie to do it, does it? It says, come to my throne of grace, you directly. Now, with that then, let's look at Mark 9, verse 23. Because the first thing we want to do is believe. Jesus is talking to the father of the boy, who the lunatic spirit it talks about in Old King James, but epilepsy or whatever it was, who had the convulsions. And they're having this dialogue, and Jesus says to him, when he says, help my unbelief, he just says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible. So this is the attitude that we've got to have in believing, that when I speak, all things are possible. Now, what's the flip side of that? And some of you may be thinking in your mind, wait a minute, are you saying that if we don't do this, there may be some things that don't happen? Are you saying that I can thwart the will of God on this earth? Yes, that's absolutely what I'm saying. Psalm 78, verse 41, talking of the children of Israel, says they tempted God over and over, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Now, if you want to know how they did it, go look at Hebrews, about 3rd and 4th chapter. Because what did they do? It says they were, because of their unbelief, they were constantly speaking only what they saw in this physical realm and totally ignoring what? The promises that he had given them. And the writer of Hebrews calls that evil, that unbelief he calls sin. And so what this is saying then is, if we allow ourselves to focus, we get back to seeing again, focus on things that we see versus the Word, that we're going to limit what God wants to do in our life. Have you heard the example used, and I think it's accurate, it's used of angels, but purely for an example, I'm not going to say this is exactly the way it works, but you pray for something and believe it, and it's as if the angel is on the way to hand it to you. And all of a sudden, out of your mouth comes something totally contrary. And what I've heard people say is it stops the angel in his tracks. And so we get close to something, we get close to it, and then we just give up on it. We get frustrated and quit. And then the angel can't deliver it. I just think it's important that we see that the children of Israel limited God by talking more about what they saw than what they promised, what had been promised to them. Now, when I thought about that, the Lord brought to mind Mary. You remember her encounter with the angel? She said, how can this be? I've not known a man. The angel tells her what's going to happen. And in the 37th verse of Luke 1, the angel says to her, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." And we say, yes, amen. With God, nothing shall be impossible. But here's where it's important that we understand what's behind that. The word nothing there comes from a Greek word, two Greek words actually, which means and says no word. And it's the word rhema, which is what? Normally a spoken type word that has been revealed, that you're buying into, that you have confidence in. So what the angel was telling Mary is no word of God shall be impossible. Now, how many of you have heard Trey or myself say here what Reinhard Bonnke heard from the Lord one day? He had set up this guy to come preach this revival for him in Africa. The guy was known for healing miracles. And he did the first night, and he said, "Now, tomorrow we're going to perform healings at whatever time the meeting was going to start in the afternoon." Reinhard went to pick him up in the morning, found he had packed his clothes, and said to him, "The Lord said for you to go do this, not me. I'm going home." And he said he panicked a little bit. And the Lord spoke to him and said, "You need to understand that my words in your mouth are just as powerful as my words in my mouth." So he's faced with a tough situation when he heard those words. Now, let's go then. No, let me stop for a moment. If you say, you get fired up about this and you say, "Well, I'm going to start saying what God says," and you quote words that God has said. If you do just that, you're going to be disappointed. Why? Because what becomes first? Believing. Having confidence in those words. So don't just listen to a testimony that someone said, "The Lord told me this, so I just began saying it and I got healed." Too many people just start trying to do what someone else has had happen for them. Let me encourage you, seek the Lord for a word. When he gives you those kind of words, that rhema word will come alive and you can't keep your mouth shut on it. Now, I want you to see then this at work as Jesus is teaching the disciples. So look with me at Luke 17th chapter, the 5th verse. And this is coming right after Peter took his foot out of his mouth when he said, "Lord, am I doing good if I forgive 7 times? And the Lord came back and said, "No, forgive 7 times 70. Now, we know that that doesn't mean on the 491st you just quit forgiving. He's just saying that you need to forgive and forgive and forgive. Because what are we doing when we do that? We're imitating the Father. So the apostles, oh my gosh, how can this ever happen? And they say, "Lord, increase our faith." And so often that's the response I hear. "I just don't have enough faith. I need my faith increased, I guess." And look at what the Lord said to him in this scripture. If you have faith, in verse 6, and I probably didn't put that in your notes, did I, Mary? So the Lord said to them, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." Now, let me break that verse down. And Mary, if you'll try to get that up while we're beginning to talk about it. It starts out saying, if you have faith as a mustard seed. If I had a mustard seed in my hand, there's not a one of you in the audience that could see it. So what is the Lord telling us? We put too much emphasis sometime on trying to have great faith versus using the faith we have. And when we hear from God and begin to see the revelation and begin to speak it, then things will be happening. I think that's what he's telling us. Now, see in this verse also that Jesus is telling us to speak to things. Did Jesus speak to things? Wind, waves, fevers, fig trees, dead people? So yes. And then let's go to Mark 11:23, because there are some points here that I don't think we really talk about. We just focus on the saying and we bypass it. And I think this is what is important before we start blabbing stuff, and I'll actually use that word. Assuredly, I say to you, Jesus is saying, now this is in red letters, whoever, and I like King James from this one, he says, whosoever. And what does that mean? That just means it includes you and I. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, in other words, he has that attitude, that same perception that Jesus does, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, I want to start on this one by saying, by reading the part, that last part that says, but believes on those things he said will be done. So the question I want to ask is, what are we believing here? What are we being told to believe? Are we being told to believe in God? Well, no, but that's essential, because this is written to those who believe. Are we told to believe that when we say God's word, that it's going to come to pass? Well, yes, but no, that's not what we're being told here. We are being, I mean, you need to know that God's word will come to pass. But what he's saying here is when we believe, because we have confidence in our Father, that he performs those things and he's diligent to do so, he's faithful, and I say the same words that he has that has power, what we're being asked to believe here is just what Reinhard heard from the Lord. We're being asked to believe that the words that we are saying, which are God's words, will come to pass because you and I said them. Now that's a big difference in just saying, well, I believe this verse, and we say it and no power comes. Again, we're getting more of the knowledge of the Lord so we can operate in this wisdom. So whosoever, anybody can do it. Now, whoever says to this mountain, I think there's some things we can learn from here. What does a mountain represent? Say that again.
A problem.
How about if I say it this way? Anything that is coming in opposition to you from what the Word of God has told you, as the devil puts it in front of you. So what might that be? Anything that holds you captive, anything that hinders you, sickness, disease, pain, distress, because it applies to the soulish realm just like the physical realm. So any of this, when comes against us, what is Jesus telling us in this verse? Whoever says to this mountain. So he's giving us an encouragement. In fact, I would say it's a command to speak. But I think there's a few other things we can learn from this word. And I, excuse me, I took this from a note, from some notes that I had written down years ago. And there's five things I want to talk about. The first one I would say, if it were God's will for the mountain to be there in front of you, for that thing to be holding you captive, for that thing to be hindering you from doing what God's told you to do, if it was his will for that mountain to be there, then he would never be telling you to speak to it. And that is so important. Second thing, it is a fact that mountains are there. But also, it is truth that you, using the word of God in your mouth, can move that mountain. Now, I want you to think about this one. If you could see yourself free, in other words, if you could see yourself after that thing has been removed, then there's nothing that would hold you back from speaking it. Because you can see yourself then walking in the perfect will of God, and your mouth will begin to confess it. I also want to say to you that the mountain needs to hear your voice. Now, I'm not saying don't come to one of us to pray, or don't go to someone else to pray, because we're teaching here how to not only receive healing, but we're teaching here how to minister healing that is received by someone who may come to us. So I'm not trying to discourage you from that, but I'm just saying the highest way of the kingdom is by faith. It comes to you. Don't we see that over and over when Jesus talks to the people and says, your faith has made you well, your faith has made you whole? Yes, we do. And then the last one I think is a big one. If you live life thinking everything in life that happens is all up to Jesus and the Father, then Jesus would have never spoken the words that are in this verse. Because if we thought it was truly the Father's will, and this gets into how we view the sovereignty of God. Now, I want to begin to close with this, Matthew 21:21. This is Matthew's account of the fig tree. So they come back and they see the fig tree. Now, I want you just to take your hand, and as I and you read the word you, just begin to count with your hand. And I'll tell you, one hand is enough. Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to this fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. A lot of yous in there, isn't it? And really, you could just say, it will be done for you. So we've got a handful of yous there. This, to me, just gives us more and more encouragement to be able to see the way that the Lord worked on this earth and the way He wants us to work. So let's go back and just ask a couple of questions. Are you loved? And everybody in here ought to be excited to say, yes, absolutely. Are you loving and living life, loving others? In other words, letting His love that's been placed in you flow through you? And we all ought to be saying yes. And if we're doing that, then what do we know? Faith works by love. So, we need then to remember that when we are standing on God's Word, it does what? Did I give you Romans 10:17, Miss Mary? Go ahead and put it up. No, 10. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I want you to see, when you get this Word of God, this Bible, these promises, these things, these great and precious promises pertaining to all things due to life and godliness, when they come alive in you and you see them, then it is a natural progression for your mouth to begin to move. I will also tell you, and we'll probably be talking about that later, if you can't say, I know that I know that I know that I believe it, then you still need to be saying those words, confessing them about yourself to let that faith grow in you. So faith will come And then those words, is any word spoken by the mouth of God come without power? No, all of it produces power. Then when we recognize who we are in Him, our position of right standing, the righteousness we have, when we see ourselves in Him, then we can get to that point where we can truly say, I'm going to speak your word. I'm going to have that same attitude of faith that Jesus had. And you know that it comes to pass, and it will. Now, don't you look at me up here thinking, does this happen every time with you? Not yet. But it happens a lot more today than it did 10 years ago. And so we're all growing in this, so I don't want us to have any condemnation with that. So let me close with this. I don't ever want you just looking at a mountain anymore, any of those obstacles that are coming before you, and keeping your mouth shut. Get before the Lord. Listen to it. And if you stare at the mountain, begin speaking to it. And it will move. One thing I can guarantee, if you don't speak, it won't move. I was complaining to the Lord, and this has been 12, 14 years ago when we were still in Tennessee. I used to go to the hospital a lot to pray for people. Our pastor would ask me to go, and I was so glad to be able to do it. And I went through a season where it didn't feel like I was getting any results. Now, the key word there is feel. And the Lord began to bring back to my mind after I conveyed that thought to Him, which obviously He knew, of when you went to see this person, what happened, and this person, what happened, and this person, what happened. And He told me then, the only time you will not get results is when you won't go. And I think that's what's happened to us sometimes with speaking. We've heard some things where it's been abused. But I think it's a law that when faith sees, we've seen faith is to speak. And when faith is spoken by you and I in this world where we've been given the authority, and that'll come a little later as we just build on this in the coming weeks, you're going to see things begin to happen that you've never seen before. You're going to see the things that you've longed to see begin to come pass. So what do we learn? Believe and speak, and whosoever, which means I can do it, that's how I can get results in this earth. Father, I just thank you that I've shared what you wanted me to share today. And I thank you, Father, that as I begin to think about David, that he spoke to that giant as he ran toward him. Father, I thank you that you're just implanting in us the importance, but not only the importance, the power of your word, the power that you, where you gave all power and authority to Jesus, and the way we release that in this earth over which you've given us dominion is through speaking it. That we don't have to make it happen. The how part is up to you, but our part is to believe you, to have confidence in you that you're faithful and that your word will bring to completion that which you spoke it to do. So we receive this today. And Father, I ask for Holy Spirit just to begin to bring this back up to people in their quiet times, even as they're walking or doing other things, so that we just begin to see ourselves operating as Jesus did, operating as Paul did, binding and loosing. And I thank you for the lives that are going to be touched by the people in this room who are hearing it. And I thank you for the changes that are going to occur to those things which have hindered and held us back as a people as we begin to speak to them. And it's in Jesus' name, everyone said, Amen.